He's bad to the bone. He's bad right down to his socks. There's no question about that. He is the grumpiest, grizzliest. Actually, you had a birthday yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, and at my age, every birthday is a good one, baby.
Randy Galloway, 225th birthday yesterday. Congratulations, Randy.
Thank you.
Some people don't know when they say, how old are you? I'm such, such. I don't want any more birthdays. You don't even know what you're saying. You want all the birthdays you can get.
Hey, by the way, yesterday we were talking about a game, NFL game in 1943. It pertains a little
Kevin
bit.
Kevin playing that game?
Yeah. I was on the field. Randy was you were in Section B, C-102, Randy?
No, it pertains to what happened Sunday at the end of that game in Minneapolis. But Sammy Ball throws a touchdown pass with under a minute left to beat those hated Giants 28-0. But I was accused of being in the press box covering the game. They wanted to know what Sammy told me after Slinging Sammy had to say about it. Oh, by the way, that is what Keith Brooking did. Now, when
I want to ask you about this too, Randy. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, when I saw it, I went, yeah, I kind of like it.
I liked it.
I kind of like it. But then I thought Keith should have dropped it there.
Talk about the complaint at the end of the game. Rally
the troops, and you can hold on to this next year. Remember what they did? We make sure that doesn't happen. Yeah. Rally the troops from that point.
But then when he went into it, was disrespectful, and it was it was that. And I thought, nah, Keith, well, I'm writing it down, but I thought Keith probably wouldn't go there. And, of course, he's been ripped all over the country. And one thing he said, this is the NFL, and these things should not happen in NFL playoff games. And everybody hooted on him. He's got, you know, kicked around all over the country for crying cowboys. And Colin Cowherd comes on yesterday and goes, cowboy fans are up in arms. Well, they're really not. Most fans I hear from saying they wish Keith had just let it go and moved on. But he did say this doesn't happen in the NFL. And somebody, I think it was our crack staff back at ESPNDallas.com. Certainly nothing on the GAC show. Nobody, you think Dodge would do this kind of research? But the Elias Stett people looked it up, and no NFL playoff game since 1943 had ever had a touchdown pass in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw this. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
In the last 2 minutes of a playoff game with a 20-point lead or more.
Well, I read that it had never happened.
Well, no, Sammy Ball did it in 1943, Redskins against the Giants.
Was that the 73-0?
No, that made it I thought that, too, for a minute. Yeah. That made it 28-0, and he threw that pass. But in a way, Keith Brooking was right. This doesn't happen in the NFL that a team would be up by 20 points still throwing in the fourth quarter with under 2 minutes to play. So just a little bit of a butt pat for Keith Brooking
right there.
At least he was right about that.
Yeah, but now, Randy, you mentioned a couple of things I want to talk to you about on this. You said you liked that he went over there. I like that he went over there, too. I like it. Now, post-game comments, I'd rather him just say, it was nothing. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
We'll take care of it ourselves.
Yeah.
We'll take care of it. Oh, mafia style. Like, you know, mafia. Yeah. When you cross the mall, the police come and say, did he say, no, he didn't break the law. Don't worry. We'll take care of this ourselves. That's what I would like to have seen, you know, from, and actually wouldn't mind seeing a few more guys over there with him.
Good point.
As
Good
he
point.
Goes at the Minnesota Vikings. Now, that being said, people are getting on Keith about this. Keith just told you it has never happened in the NFL. As a reporter, how surprised are you, every time I do this, people, oh, Michael, you hate Brett, and I don't hate Brett, that people are letting it go and not trying to find out who made that call? Now, see, that's interesting because with the problem, the schism you had with Brad Childress, if you really was doing reporting, you should want to find out who made that call. But they're worried about it causing an issue in Minnesota. And they don't want to do that. I don't mean to call out reporters. I know that's what you do. But I see it as I see it. Can you talk to me about this, please?
You know, a funny thing happened. When Brett made that throw and he came to the sideline,
I saw that.
Suddenly, the old head coach, that's an ugly guy, that head coach. But anyway.
I saw it. You see him talking over there?
Yeah.
And that little pat, like, yeah, right. Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Right.
I mean, I saw that.
And I'm wondering if the old head coach was going, now, Brett.
I didn't call that.
No, I don't think that was the play call. But nobody would touch it.
And nobody of course, would touch it. Why?
Mike, Well, Mike totally backed. Well, it was asked. Was that a play call? Now, they did ask that. I wasn't over in the Minnesota side, but I talked to the Minneapolis and St. Paul reporters and everybody else there that they were on that side. And it was asked, who called that play? And he said, you know, he just went ahead like, I called the play, the coach. You know, that's the play that was in there, and here's why we did it. But there is a thought that he really didn't, but obviously he's going to back Brett. To answer your question, it's this. In Minneapolis, they really don't care because it's certainly no big deal. And everywhere else around the country, it's the damn Cowboys. And a lot of people.
They don't want to fight.
You're right.
They
people,
don't want to turn Brett over.
So suddenly it's the Cowboys crying, and that's why. And around here, you know, we talk about it a little bit, and it got into it a little bit, but it's like, if you're really going to get into it, it sounds like you're crying too, and God knows the media wouldn't want to be called crybabies.
Well, let's ask Jesse here. What was the reaction in the locker room, if any?
I mean, after it happened, guys were pissed off about it, but I think more so the sum total of the loss really burned and sting more than that particular play. Mm. But like Mike said, that's something that will be in the back of our minds because Minnesota's on the schedule next year.
Right.
By the way,
But not just for Minnesota.
Hold on 1 second, Mike. Could I say this?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Jesse's. Pretty good on the radio.
Yeah, that's what
I'm right.
Yeah, he's my man right there.
He's good on the radio. I'm surprised that
when it carved me a young Mike Irvin.
I wanted to be careful under your wing, but as Callie rolls his eyes, Callie had obviously thought about the same thing. Just be careful.
Jesse,
be careful.
Under that wing, let me tell you.
That's it. It's hard there. Yeah. Okay, now the way I have loved Kylie's
3-year deal, possibly on the loom.
Ooh,
what saith he?
Man,
I know you guys.
I want to hear what you loved about me there. Michael interrupted you. See, that's what happens on his show. As soon as you say love Kylie, that's the end of the segment.
Get out of here with that.
I wanted to quote the great Kevin Kelly on that one. Wouldn't have hired him to start with. Would have fired him after the first year. That's 13-3. The second year and right now. Yep. I mean, my idea. And you just said, Michael, that the New England type coaches—they're
gone, Randy.
Are you telling me that it bothers you, but they're gone. The great Jimster could not come back and drop a load on Valley Ranch.
Yes, he can, but Jimmy
and get results.
But Jimmy was different than the Parcells. Jimmy, psychology major. He knew how to get in the minds and work the players from that perspective. Jimmy always knew that I had to have the locker room. See, some days, some of those coaches, the ones that I'm saying are being antiquated now, the thoughts, the way of life is antiquated, their thoughts are, it was always, I own it, I run it, I have it. That's leaving. You better say, I have it because I got the guys that are in it, the top guys that are in it. I got them, so I got the locker room. That's here. And when you look at the guys, these four coaches that are left in the playoffs right now, hallelujah. That's what they are. Randy, the time has come you got to see these players as corporations.
Well, now don't say Sean
corporate America.
Are you telling me Jim Caldwell doesn't run that team?
Sean Payton is a butt kicker. You know what I heard? Yeah, he sent him in that bye week. He sent him through 2-a-days in the bye week. Now, hey, the guy in Minnesota, you know what he does? Gives him in ooh, this looked bad because we kicked around Wade last year for 3 days off, and then this guy gives them 5 days off. They get ready for the Cowboys in about 5 days and go kick butt. So
that's because Brett wanted 5 days off.
Right.
And you couldn't give him 5 days
Brett changed the practice schedule when he got there.
Brett said, I got to go to Mississippi and get some hay in. Yeah, we got some hay in the field.
I'm going to visit Tiger in sex therapy.
That's right. I pulled back on my stance when I saw Coach Childress go and pick up Brett. To this day, from this day forward, I will pull back off that stance. I can't believe he went and picked Brett up.
Now, you firmly believe,
that's exactly what he should have done.
You
because now he's saying, this is my business partner. We got to go over the partnership on the ride to the to the practice facility. And that's what he did. They went over, and like all partnerships, they have a little bump in the road. They had a schism, but they got it back together. I'm going to sell that, Randy.
I can't believe you believe that. You, of all people, because you fed off... You fed off that Jimmy Johnson mentality, and ultimately everybody, Aikman certainly fed off of it.
The game of football requires a beast at head coach, period. I know you may have some that succeed with something else, but the game requires a beast.
Now, something Jesse said, though, earlier.
I want to go over the last few winners in the Super Bowl. Tom Coughlin, who readily admit he softened
Mike
his
Tomlin.
Fans.
Yeah, but he's
Tom
still.
Coach Dungy, who readily admits, who we know who he is. Mike Tomlin, who is the ultimate, if you talk to any of his players, coach.
Oh, wait, he is a butt-kicking king.
But it's not
Tomlin.
Tony
Dungy is, he's like God. He walks in a room and people start getting out the Bible.
We're not talking about butt-kickers.
You think they're getting out the Bible for Wade?
Tony, well, we interviewed. Now, wait a minute. No, yeah, for a different reason. They're praying for a win. But no, when we talked to Tony, we asked Tony about that. I asked Tony that question about his demeanor, and he doesn't look like a guy, and he laughed. Remember what he did? He smiled, and he said, I get other people to do that.
But
so there's some butt-kicking going on.
That's ultimate. Hey, you know what?
Isn't that a part of building your coaching staff?
Yes.
Is that not a part of building your coaching staff?
Or your locker room, as you said, about, okay, maybe Brooking came in to do that.
That's the genius of being a head coach. You have to be able, and a general manager and all, you have to be able to put the intricate parts around a certain. You had to put the parts around Michael Jordan to give him a championship
team. Absolutely.
You had to give certain parts to you know, they needed the bad boy of Dennis Rodman for certain things. You had, you know, back in the old days, you had, you know, on the court, you had the bully, the goon that would go in there and do the dirty work. Oh, you see it every day on hockey. Alex Ovechkin, he's not fighting. You know, you got guys skating.
Man knows hockey.
Boy,
the man.
These guys are. Hey,
that's the first time anybody said hockey.
Listen, you got to come through MJI or Michael Irvin Media to talk to him on the job.
No, you
just let you know right now.
Hockey
cannot hire this man.
What I'm saying is, as a coach, and we're talking business partner, as a president or a CEO, you have to find the right intricate parts that work well with the things that you have. You don't have a bulldog as a head coach, then you put bulldogs around him.
All right, we're going to ask you who the bulldogs are. I want to know who the bulldogs on the Cowboys.
All right, but now one thing, though, Tom Landry. Now that's a sacred figure locally.
Right.
But now some people just have it. Tom Landry did not have to kick anybody's butt. Tom Landry walked in and gave you the look. You played for him one year.
Right.
Michael, all right, and then there's a Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, what player is going to, he can walk in and give you the look. He doesn't have to say a word. There are some men that do that. Other, you know, the rest of us have to cuss and duck because, you know, somebody's going to swing.
Right. And all I'm saying, Randy, is that those coaches, Mike Tomlin, all of those guys, Jimmy Johnson was great at it. He will go into your world and find out what he needs to do to get you where he needs to get you. That's a player's coach by my standards. That's not Bill Parcells.
We're going to
find
out.
That's not Belichick.
We're going to find out
who are
the Bulldoggers in the Cowboy locker room. That next. He is bad to the bone. He's the Michelangelo of grumpiness.
He's
the Einstein of idiocy.
I still want to play off that tease too next on the mic.
And he's on every day, 3 to 6, right here on 103.3
FM. You know what they had to do?
ESPN.
They got me here, then they had to go get Troy and Emin to build that thing around me.
So leave this one alone.